This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of John Edward Jones? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. John Edward Jones was born on January 21, 1983, in Sandy, Utah. He had four brothers and two sisters. In 2001, John graduated from high school, where he had been senior class president. He was a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and completed a mission in Ecuador before attending Brigham Young University. While he was there, he met a woman named Emily, and they became romantically involved. The couple married in 2006. After graduating from college, John enrolled in medical school at the University of Virginia. He was interested in being a pediatric cardiologist someday. By 2009, John and Emily had a daughter, and Emily was pregnant with a son. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. In November 2009, John, his wife, and his daughter traveled to Utah to be with John's family for Thanksgiving. John's brother, Joshua, came up with an idea for an adventure. Joshua set up an excursion to explore a cave called the Nutty Putty Cave. The exploration would involve Joshua, John, and nine other family members and friends. The Nutty Putty Cave is located in Utah County, Utah, about 50 miles south of Salt Lake City. It was discovered in 1960. The cave was created through hydrothermal activity, so it was formed from hot water rising up and dissolving the rock, as opposed to being dissolved by water dripping from above, like most caves. Hydrothermal caves tend to have many complex features, like narrow areas that open into large areas and then become narrow again. The Nutty Putty Cave is no exception and contains about 1,400 tunnels and chutes. The cave is 1,355 feet long and 145 feet deep. The walls of the cave are covered in clay, which is how the cave obtained its name. The first person who explored the cave thought the clay looked like Nutty Putty, which was the original name for Silly Putty. This toy, which is made of silicone and other chemicals, was extremely popular in the late 20th century. The Nutty Putty Cave was a popular destination for cave explorers, or cavers, and received about 5,000 visitors a year. It was particularly popular among inexperienced cavers because it was not considered difficult to navigate. Despite this reputation as an undemanding cave, it had its share of frightening incidents. Between 1999 and 2004, six people had to be rescued from the cave. In 2006, the cave was closed due to safety concerns, but reopened in 2009 under an agreement that only permitted one group at a time to explore the cave. The cave had only been open for about 6 months when Joshua arranged for the excursion. On November 24, 2009, John and Joshua arrived at the cave at about 8 p.m. and met with family members and friends. This was John's first time in the cave, but he had explored other caves years earlier and was an Eagle Scout. He should have been familiar with outdoor activities. The group entered the cave, and everything seemed to be going well. Eventually, John, Joshua, and two other friends decided to break off from the group and search for more adventure. They were looking for a part of the cave referred to as the birth canal. This was a narrow passageway in the cave that led to a relatively large and open area. Instead of the birth canal, John ventured into an unmapped passageway that was extremely tight. This move was inadvisable and inexplicable. It's not clear what motivated John to do this. He should have known this was not a good idea. After traveling for about 30 feet, John realized that he had made a mistake and believed that he was unable to back up. In his mind, all he could do was stay still or move forward. Instead of admitting to his poor decision and calling for help at that moment, John decided to push forward and look for a place large enough to turn around. He noticed a passageway in front of him that dropped almost straight down and believed that he saw an opening on the other side. In reality, this 18-inch by 10-inch crevice did not lead anywhere. It was a dead end, in more than one sense of the word. In yet another inexplicable move, John decided to climb headfirst down into the crevice. He immediately became stuck. John was unable to push himself back out and was under pressure as he was wedged inside the walls of the crevice. One of his arms was bent underneath his chest, and the other one was forced backward. John was 700 feet into the cave and 125 feet below ground level. Despite this distance, he was only 10 minutes travel time to the entrance of the cave. But for him, it would be an eternity. Joshua found John and pulled him up a little bit, but as soon as Joshua let John go, John slid right back into the crevice. After praying for a while with John, Joshua made his way back to the cave entrance to call for help. This was at about 10 p.m. A friend remained with John as Joshua did this.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC. Yeah.
The first rescuer on the scene was a local volunteer named Susie. At 12:30 a.m., now on November 25, she reached John's position. She introduced herself to him and asked how it was going. John replied, "Thanks for coming, but I really, really want to get out." Eventually, over 130 rescue workers joined the effort to save John. Only 15 were inside the cave at any given time, and only one person at a time could actually see and reach John. The passageway leading up to where John was stuck was extremely tight. There was hardly any room to work. Only John's feet were visible, and there wasn't much clearance above his feet. Rescuers were concerned that even if they could pull him out, it was going to be challenging to navigate him through all the twists and turns. Being stuck upside down is very dangerous. Rescuers knew that John was not going to survive long. A two-part plan was developed to free John. Part one involved using drills and chisels to break away rock around John to give him more room to breathe. Part two involved constructing a rope and pulley system. The rope would be connected to John's ankles, and rescuers would pull him out of the crevice. The drilling and chiseling effort progressed slowly. Rescuers managed to clear 6 inches of rock, but it took them an hour and a half. Unfortunately, building the rope and pulley system also took a while. The rope ran through 4 different pulleys, which were placed in areas where the passageway turned. These are called deviations. The pulley for the final deviation in the line the one closest to John, was connected to a natural bridge in the ceiling. The rest of the pulleys were connected using climbing cams. The success of the rescue mission was dependent on John offering significant assistance, which at that time he was able to do. The rescuers would pull on the rope, and John would assist by pushing himself out of the crevice with his arms. At about 5 p.m., the rescuers started pulling John out of the crevice. They made progress during the first two times they pulled the rope. On the third try, John was out far enough where the closest rescuer could actually see his eyes. The rescuer said, "How are you?" John replied, quote, "It sucks. I'm upside down. I can't believe I'm upside down. My legs are killing me," unquote. When the rescuers pulled on the rope for the fourth time, disaster struck. The rescuers had used a short 11-millimeter rope to attach the pulley to the final deviation in the line. This rope had been damaged by rubbing against the rock of the natural bridge. The rope snapped, which sent the pulleys and a carabiner flying into the face of the rescuer who was closest to John. It hit him so hard, the rescuer was knocked unconscious. When he regained consciousness a few moments later, he realized what happened. The failure of the rigging dropped John about a foot into the crevice. The drop did not injure John, but he was still in bad shape from being upside down for hours. It took over an hour to re-rig the final deviation with a bolt anchor and get the team back in position. As they were doing this, John became unresponsive. When the rescuers tried pulling him again, John did not help at all, and it was impossible to make progress. At 11:56 p.m., 26-year-old John Edward Jones was pronounced dead by a paramedic. He had died sometime in the last 2 hours. The authorities determined that it was too dangerous to retrieve John's body. It would have been difficult to free him when he was alive and able to assist. Now that he was dead and unable to assist, they did not believe they could get his body out. The entrance to the cave was sealed with concrete. The cave is no longer open to the public or anyone else. It became John's final resting place. By the entrance, there is a plaque bearing an image of John's face. In June 2009, John's wife Emily had a son. She named him John Edward Jones II. In August of 2012, she remarried and would later have another child. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. An investigation into the Nutty Putty cave disaster placed all the blame on John Edward Jones. John made a few mistakes, some of which defy any rational explanation and still confuse cavers to this day. Here are a few errors that John made. John was 6 feet tall and weighed 190 pounds. He was too large for the crevice that he was in and for the passageway leading up to that crevice. Rescuers, who were the same physical size as John, were not able to get anywhere near him. Only smaller rescuers could reach him. It was almost like John made every effort to push himself through the tightest space imaginable so that escape was impossible. Before John became stuck, he believed that he was unable to back out of the passageway. This is when he should have called for help. Rescuers could have easily freed him from that position. Instead of asking for rescue, John looked for a place to turn around. He crawled headfirst down into a tight and nearly vertical crevice, which was clearly a dead end. John had experience exploring caves. He knew it was a bad idea to climb straight down into a tight passageway. Furthermore, John was a second-year medical student. He must have known that being stuck upside down eventually causes death. Even with all the other mistakes, if John had simply tried to navigate the crevice feet first, he almost certainly would have survived. It's unclear what led John to make these bad decisions, but he was probably a high sensation seeker, and he may have felt invincible. Item number two, regardless of who was to blame for this tragedy, John Jones suffered a tremendous amount in the 27 hours leading up to his death. The rescuers believe that John probably hit his head when he initially entered the crevice, because he appeared to have amnesia. John would alternate between experiencing panic and calmness. He was also disoriented for some of the time. He reported extreme pain in his legs, and he was clearly suffering and other areas. When the rescuers attempted to pull him up using the rope and pulley system, John would scream in agony. John's death was unimaginably horrible. Some of the rescuers who attempted to help John suffered symptoms consistent with post-traumatic stress disorder. In addition, there were complaints that closure was not achieved because John's body was never recovered. This brings me to item number 3. The failure to recover John's body and the permanent sealing of the cave are extremely controversial. Even though it would have been very difficult to recover John's body, it was technically possible. Rescuers could have used drills and chisels without being under time pressure and made enough room to recover the body. It would have been difficult, expensive, and carried some risk, but it also would have given closure to family members and rescuers. In my opinion, risking lives to recover a body is unwise. However, in this situation, the risk could have been controlled fairly well. I believe they should have pulled John's body out of the cave. As far as the idea of closing the cave permanently, I disagree with this decision as well. Many caving enthusiasts have pointed out that people die all the time in outdoor environments. For example, people die in wooded areas, on ski slopes, on hiking trails, and in lakes and rivers. Society can't shut down every natural attraction because one person made a poor decision. In the aftermath of John's death, some people wanted to fill the cave with explosives and blow it up. It's like this incident started a flood of anti-cave nonsense. Locals were one step away from storming the cave with torches and pitchforks. This is a ridiculous overreaction. It's important to resist the temptation to cave in. The Nutty Putty Cave was actually one of the safer caves to explore. It was considered a place where cavers could go to train so they could tackle more difficult caves later on. Ultimately, the decision to close the Nutty Putty Cave will deny inexperienced cavers a chance to learn cave exploration in a relatively safe environment. Now moving to my final thoughts. Although it's tempting to blame the cave in this situation, all the blame rests with John Edward Jones. A person can be the victim of a horrible and unimaginable death and be responsible for that death at the same time. Many people struggle to believe these two ideas can coexist, but this case proves they can. Closing down natural attractions due to the isolated mistakes of individuals unfairly denies people the freedom to explore. John Edward Jones was adventurous to a fault. It's ironic that he should be honored by depriving other people of adventures.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.